Fanacek, y'all. S4, E17. This is William Devane, part two of what I have now determined will be a three-part series, because my man worked a lot, had a lot to say about it. So my Christmas gift to you all will be an extra episode of Fanacek, because I thought Devane was going to be two episodes, but quite frankly, y'all, it's a lot of research, and he's going to be a three-part kind of guy, so I can break it up. So last episode, I started with the beginning of Devane's career. We ended it after 1977, and this should have been his entrance into being a bona fide movie star, like a straight-up leading man. I mean, look at 1976 and 1977, Family Plot, Marathon Man, Bad News Bears and Breaking Training, Rolling Thunder, which I think is kind of his signature movie at this point, right? But he didn't become a movie star. He stayed busy. He worked a lot, but he was never like the guy. He was never, like I said, just never a A-list movie star. So let's look at this, right? 77 was huge. 78, he didn't work at all. 79 was a 50-50 split of TV work and feature films. But moving forward, the bulk of the work was TV, mostly TV movies. So, I mean, hey, he's still a working movie actor, but he's a TV movie actor, ultimately becoming a TV star, which we'll talk about a lot today. So let's dive into those credits. But first, before we do that, let's take a look at some interesting trivia about Devane, because I had quite a few people on Facebook hit me up about this. So we'll go ahead and do some research here, or read from some research. In 1971, he starred off-Broadway as Randall McMurphy in the first stage revival of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, alongside Danny DeVito as Martini, who would go on to reprise the role in the acclaimed film of the same name alongside Jack Nicholson. So why this is cool is, A, he originated that role before Nicholson, which I think is really cool, and he did it with DeVito, and again, DeVito ultimately did the movie. Which, by the way, the movie was produced by Michael Douglas, so that's interesting. But what's cool about it is a lot of people on Facebook who hit me up have seen it. They were there. They saw Devane do this in the off-Broadway production, and they all claim he was better than Nicholson. So I thought I would talk about that today. So let's look at his credits now. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to start with 1979. I'll say this about William Devane in 79. He worked with a ton of cool people. I mean, he did two miniseries and two movies. Let's start with the movies. First up is The Dark. Now, of course, as always, I'm not prepared with my IMDb. You think I'd have it ready to go now. So his first movie that we're going to talk about in 1979 is called The Dark. Again, it's a feature. It's not a TV movie. Okay, so this movie seems like a mess, okay? And there are several clues suggesting it was a shit show, and I'll get to that. But first, a synopsis, as I like to do. Someone or something is on an indiscriminate killing and mutilation spree during nighttime. Frustrated by the clueless police, the father of the first victim is looking for answers, no matter how far-fetched they are. Now, the cast, right? William Devane and Kathy Lee Crosby are the leads. Casey Kasem plays a police pathologist. Might be the first clue that this is a shit show. Casey Kasem's in it. Can you imagine him as a police pathologist? All right. The number five reason this person is dead is because of strangulation. I have a letter from Joan in Kansas who says, that was a horrible Casey Kasem impression, but anyway, he played a police pathologist in this, which is very random. Kathy Hilton had a small part in this. She, of course, is Paris and Nikki Hilton's mother. So does Philip Michael Thomas. Okay. Philip Michael Thomas was Tubbs in Miami Vice. Of course, you know, Don Johnson being Sonny Crockett. Philip Michael Thomas was Tubbs. I don't know if I've ever talked about this. Do yourself a favor. Pause the podcast. Go to IMDb and look up Philip Michael Thomas. Look at his picture on IMDb. Do yourself that favor. It is priceless. It's this fucking shirtless picture of him with like a gold chain kind of rocking a fro. I love that this is his IMDb picture. So do that. Do yourself a favor. Look at that and then come back to Fanacek. Okay. So that is that. So there's two signs, like I said, that this movie was a bit of a shit show. The first, it had two directors, which is rarely a positive sign, right? The original, by the way, was Toby Hooper. He got replaced by John Bud Carlos. And we're going to discuss these two guys because I like them both. So Toby Hooper is kind of a horror movie legend. He came on the scene with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He also, you know, he worked with Spielberg. Spielberg produced Poltergeist. Toby Hooper directed Poltergeist. Now, John Bud Carlos, I've talked about on the podcast before. I specifically spoke about him in the Gary Kent episode. Bud Carlos was a director, actor, stuntman. He worked closely with Gary Kent. He is the one, when Gary Kent, they were filming at the Spahn Ranch, and the Manson family was being a pain in the ass and begging for food and stealing shit and all that kind of thing. Basically, Gary Kent went over there and threatened him and said, look, John Carlos is going to drill you a new asshole. And Charlie Manson shut the fuck up. So John Bud Carlos is a badass. So he again replaced Toby Hooper. But again, like I'm saying, this is not a good sign for a film. When they fire the director and bring in another guy, not good. So two directors was the first sign that this movie was effed. The second, well, check out this nugget of trivia. All right, and this is going to tell you like what the fuck was going on with this movie. So here's the trivia. From the screenplay stage and all the way through to production, the Dark's antagonist was an abused autistic child who had been locked in an attic for his entire life. In the original script, his house burned down, allowing him to escape and take vengeance on the outside world. Toward the end of the shoot, the film's producers decided to capitalize on the success of Alien and demanded extensive research to change the killer into an extraterrestrial. So it goes from an autistic child trapped in the house to a fucking extraterrestrial. And there you go. So that's it. That's why this movie was fucked. Now, the second movie that Devane did in 79 was Yanks, a pretty forgettable Richard Gere movie, but it was directed by John Schlesinger, a pretty legendary director. He directed Midnight Cowboy, Marathon Man, of course, also with William Devane. He also directed some other Devane stuff that we'll get to later. He directed The Falcon and the Snowman, Pacific Heights. Oh, Pacific Heights is great, by the way. Michael Keaton, Melanie Griffith, Matthew Modine. If you ever get a chance, I think it was like the early 90s. Check out Pacific Heights. Anyway, so that's Yanks, kind of forgettable. Moving on, like I said earlier, Devane did two miniseries as well as those movies in 1979. So let's talk about the miniseries. The first one is From Here to Eternity, then Black Beauty. We'll go ahead and we'll actually start with Black Beauty first. Let me pull it up here on the old IMDb. I remember it as a kid about the fucking horse, but let's take a look at the synopsis. Black Beauty is the story of a horse, the people who loved and cared for him, and those who did not. The story of a magnificent spirit that overcame all odds and prevailed. Well, isn't that special? Killer cast, so Cameron Mitchell's in this. The guy's legendary. Martin Milner from Route 66. Diane Ladd, that's Laura Dern's mama. Let's take a look. Who else is in this? Eileen Brennan. Oh, I like Eileen Brennan from Private Benjamin. Clu Gulager is in this with William Devane. Who else? Anyone else of note? Jack Elam, Van Johnson, Peter Breck. Oh, wow. Got some good people in this. A lot of Western actors. Ken Curtis. Wasn't Ken Curtis in Gunsmoke? He was. He played Festus in Gunsmoke. I thought he looked familiar. Don DeFore is in this. I did an interview with Don DeFore. I interviewed his son. I did an episode on Don DeFore by interviewing his son. Jenny O'Hara, great character actress. Harry Carey Jr. is in this. So lots of folks in From Here to Eternity. From Black Beauty. So now we're going to go to From Here to Eternity because this is a little more interesting to me. So From Here to Eternity, here it's a miniseries. Here is the synopsis. In Hawaii in 1941, a private is cruelly punished for not boxing on his unit's team while his captain's wife and second-in-command are falling in love. How about that? So this was a remake of the 1953 film with Burt Lancaster, Montgomery Clift, Donna Reed from... Oh, Donna Reed. I love her. She's from It's a Wonderful Life. And of course, Frank Sinatra was in the original movie, From Here to Eternity. That's an interesting story. So if you know The Godfather, a lot of you probably know the story, but in The Godfather, that character of Johnny Fontaine, who's a singer slash actor, you know, he wants Don Corleone to get him into this movie. So Don Corleone sends Tom Hagen out to meet with the producer. The producer's like, fuck you, I'm not putting Johnny Fontaine in my movie. So they make him an offer he can't refuse, as you'll recall, which is a horse head. He wakes up and his favorite horse's head has been cut off in his bed. Well, the character of Johnny Fontaine is very obviously based on Frank Sinatra. And as the story goes, Vito Genovese of the Genovese crime family, had to twist some arms to get Frank Sinatra into this movie because Sinatra's career was on the downslope. He wasn't doing that great. He really wanted this part in the movie. The mob boss got him into it. So that Johnny Fontaine horsehead story is based on Frank Sinatra getting the role in From Here to Eternity. That was a long story, but it was a good story. So Devane was the lead in this miniseries, which also resulted in another successful volume in 1980. You know, since it came back in 1980. This is kind of making Devane a big TV star at this point, and less of a movie star. So let's see like what else he does in the 80s. So again, 1980 began with the continuation of From Here to Eternity. And that's really all he does in 1980, which, by the way, it occurred to me, I never read the cast. So let's take a look at the cast of people he's working with. Natalie Wood, of course, William Devane is in this. Joey Pants, Joe Pantoliano is in this. Kim Basinger, Peter Boyle. This is killer, man. Oh my gosh, let's take a look. Who else? Who else? Anyone else? Don't let me down. I'm sure if I scroll enough, I'll find one more name actor. Let's take a look. Robert Davey. Robert Davey was one of the bad guys. Oh, wow. It's funny. Full circle. He was Joey Pants' brother in The Goonies. He was one of the two brothers with their ugly mom there chasing the kids around in The Goonies. And I just watched, because, you know, it's Christmas time. Sometimes you watch Die Hard. I am not a person who believes Die Hard's a Christmas movie, but I wanted my wife to see it. Now, she's a believer that it is a Christmas movie, so I think we're going to get divorced. But Robert Davey was also in Die Hard. He played like one of the FBI guys that shows up. Who else is in this? Anyone good? I think that's about it. So that is From Here to Eternity. That's, again, that's all he did in 1980. Now, the rest of the 80s are pretty rough for old Mr. Devane. Not really a lot of highlights, I hate to say. In 81, he does another John Schlesinger film, Honky Tonk Freeway. I've never seen it. I've heard of it. It's got a kind of a cool premise. Let's take a look here. Ticklaw, a small town in Florida, has only one attraction, a safari park. The government constructs a freeway that passes near Ticklaw, but decides not to put an exit into the town. The people of Ticklaw, led by its mayor, will do anything in order to convince the governor to alter the project. And if they're anything like the people who live in my fucking neighborhood, they know how to piss and moan and complain to their local government. So there you go. Really fun cast. I made a note of that. Let me take a look here. So let's see. Howard Hessman, Terry Garr, love it. Peter Billingsley, the star of A Christmas Story. Beau Bridges, Beverly D'Angelo. Oh, wow, we got a lot of famous Christmas movies. Check this out. Peter Billingsley's in this, star of Christmas Story. Beverly D'Angelo's in this, star of Christmas Vacation. Daniel Stern is in this, one of the robbers in Home Alone. So lots of legendary Christmas actors. Perfect for a Christmas time podcast. Celia Weston's in this. She was one of the replacement waitresses on Alice later in the later seasons. Can't remember her character's name, and I don't care. Jessica Tandy was in this. Let's take a look. Who else? This is a fun cast. I like all these people. Okay, that about wraps that up. Anyone else? No. Let's read a review of Honky Tonk Freeway, because I do dig the synopsis. Here's a review. Let's take a look. A fast, funny, and surprising satire of American enterprise. Honky Tonk Freeway involves a small Florida tourist town named Ticklaw and the people who live there, led by William Devane playing the part of the mayor slash preacher, Kirby T. Kahlo, who also operates a hotel and tiny wildlife safari park. The town's major draw is a water skiing elephant named Bubbles. When the State Highway Commission builds a freeway adjacent to the town, Devane slips an official $10,000 to a short off-ramp. The off-ramp doesn't come, so the townsfolk literally paint the town pink to attract visitors. Meanwhile, we are introduced to several characters, who else? All right, that went too much into story, but sounds like a fun movie. I made a note to read some trivia, too. They had some good trivia that jumped out at me. Here's the first one. The entire town of Mount Dora, Florida was painted pink for this picture. So how about that? And check this out. 2,000 extras and background artists in Mount Dora, Florida were paid around $35 a day to appear in the film. That's a lot of extras and a lot of money. So that is Honky Tonk Freeway. Now, William Devane's next three credits after Honky Tonk Freeway are TV movies. Again, like further entrenching him as a TV man. So he goes from this slasher movie to like diving back down into TV. They are 1981's Red Flag, The Ultimate Game, and also 1981, The Other Victim, 1982, The Big Easy. We'll take a look at all three of these. Red Flag, The Ultimate Game is about two former Vietnam pilots who now are like teaching in some top secret school or something. The Other Victim seems interesting. I'll read the synopsis because it's kind of set up as a revenge flick, but it really isn't. So The Other Victim, I'll read the synopsis first. After his wife is raped, a man struggles to find ways to express the anger and helplessness which the crime has instilled in him. But the poster, it shows him holding a gun, and it makes it look like a revenge flick, which I don't think it is. But here's what the poster says. It's actually a really cool poster. It's William Devane holding a pistol. Nancy Langford was the victim of a terrible attack. Now her husband is choking with rage, unable to touch her. Nancy recovered from the attack. her husband didn't. He's the one who wants revenge. He's the one who's ready to kill. But when you dive into it, read more of the reviews, it was really more of really the story of like, again, it's called The Other Victim. It's not just her, it's told from his perspective in the sense that it's not only the victim that struggles, but the victim's family that struggles. And I don't know, but maybe there's a revenge element to it. I don't know. I'll probably never watch it, but let's move on. The other TV movie he did is The Big Easy. It's a New Orleans detective movie, but it got derailed due to what I'm about to read you via the trivia. So this could have been bigger than it was. So again, it's called The Big Easy, not to be confused with the Dennis Quaid movie, but check out this bit of trivia, which tells you what this was meant to be. This was actually in development as a pilot for an ABC series, but star William Devane became an important character in Knots Landing, which we'll get to, on that same network, and production was shelved. So this was going to be a show starring William Devane, which brings us really to what firmly planted William Devane's flag into the world of TV stardom, Knots Landing. We got to talk about it. So this is where he did a lot of his work. So Knots Landing itself ran from 79 to 93. Devane joined in 83. So Devane was on Knots Landing for its final 10 years, 83 to 93. He was in 266 of the 344 episodes. I'll go ahead and read you a synopsis of Knots Landing for those of you who don't know it. The residents of Knots Landing, a coastal suburb of Los Angeles, deal with various issues such as infidelity, health scares, rape, murder, kidnapping, assassinations, drug smuggling, corporate intrigue, and criminal investigations. It is a spinoff of Dallas, by the way. Knots Landing followed the lives of several families living in coastal suburb Los Angeles, California. Gary Ewing, right, of the Ewing family in Dallas, Gary Ewing and his wife, Valene, arrive from Dallas to make a new star for themselves. So there you go. So it's a spinoff of Dallas. This was not my thing at all, by the way. This was primetime soaps when I was a little kid. So it's I always put it in the same vein as Dynasty, Falcon Crest, Dallas for sure. I didn't watch Dallas either. So that's what that is. I'll read you some of the cast, though. It's got some major players. Ted Shackelford, Joan Van Ark. Donna Mills, she's very buoyant, if you recall from the last episode. Nicolette Sheridan was in this. Who else did a lot of episodes? Lisa Hartman did a lot. Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas, she did a lot of episodes. Who else? I saw in the picture, it looked like I saw Karen Black, or Karen Allen, is that right? Was Karen Allen in this? Lar Park Lincoln. Lar Park Lincoln was in one of the Friday the 13th movies. She was. She was in Part 7, The New Blood. How about that? I knew I recognized that name. You know what's sad when you see a name, you're like, that person was in Friday the 13th, Part 7. I know that for a fact. Alec Baldwin did a lot of this. Who else? Man, this guy goes on and on and on. I could probably do this all day. I mean, let's face it, the damn show's on for 14 years. Let's read a review. Let's see what people thought of Knots Landing. So I will read you a review. Even better than the show that spawned it, is what this fellow thinks. When this show first premiered, many didn't give it a chance due to the fact that it was a spinoff from the hugely popular Dallas. A lot of people didn't think that a show featuring the least known of the Ewing brothers, Gary, and his wife, Val, would last. However, it did last, and boy, did it ever. For 14 years, we saw the saga of the cul-de-sac and their various residents, and the main reason that the show became great is the fact that there was such great chemistry amongst the leads, and that led to some great performances, especially from the woman who eventually became the lead, Michelle Lee. Also, many of the stories, unlike most nighttime soaps, were based in reality. Subjects such as drug and alcohol addiction, colon cancer, and rape were all covered in this show. But perhaps the most dramatic change occurred with several seasons after the show debuted, when the Williamses, an African-American couple, and their daughter were introduced in 1987. This was at a time when many blacks were becoming upwardly mobile, and this was just a reflection of that trend. This show definitely will always be fondly remembered by everyone. Well, there you go. Okay. I made a note to read some trivia, so we're going to stay on Knots Landing for a second. Here is the first trivia I want to read you. In 1985, Gary Ewing, played by Ted Shackelford, got a phone call telling him his brother Bobby was dead. Now, if you call Bobby, you know, who killed Bobby and all that shit, or, you know, from Dallas, played by Patrick Duffy. Now, however, when the producers of Dallas decided to retcon Bobby's death the following year by making it all a dream that Pam Ewing had, the producers of Knots Landing chose not to go along with its parent series in order to not confuse viewers. Bobby Ewing's resurrection, therefore, was never mentioned on Knots Landing, and the series never associated itself with Dallas again, with the exception of Gary and Val's appearance in the Dallas series finale. Well, that's interesting, so that's one trivia I want to read to you. Here's the other one I wanted to read. Right here. Almost a year after the series ended, Kevin Dobson and Nicolette Sheridan, who played on-screen daughter Paige Matheson, attended the funeral of Telly Savalas, who died in January 94 of prostate cancer. Long before Dobson's role in the show, he had a co-starring role with his mentor in Kojak, where Sheridan is Savalas' real-life stepdaughter. I did not know that. So Nicolette Sheridan is Savalas' stepdaughter. I had no clue, because his goddaughter was Jennifer Aniston. So look at that. I did a whole episode on Telly Savalas and never even found out that Nicolette Sheridan was his stepdaughter. She had a big career, and of course her career got resurrected again when she did Desperate Housewives. But she had a big, big, big career. She was a hottie for sure. That is Knots Landing. So again, Devane was doing Knots Landing from, you know, 83 to 93. During that time, he worked on other projects. Not a lot of great highlights between 83 and 93, but let's point out a few projects that he did. I'll start with the 1983 movie Hadley's Rebellion. The synopsis admittedly made me laugh. Let me pull up Hadley's Rebellion here. A small town lad's passion for authentic wrestling is not matched by those around him at a California prep school. Because at that prep school, they like inauthentic wrestling. Whereas my man here, he's a wrestling purist. So I'm guessing at that school, I guess he didn't tolerate, like, you know, turnbuckles and sweet chin music like Shawn Michaels there. Okay. The cast is intriguing. The lead is Griffin O'Neill. That's Ryan O'Neill's son. We'll get back to that. Charles Durning was in this. Adam Baldwin was in this. Not related to the Baldwin family. Chad McQueen was in this. That is Steve McQueen's son. How about that? Tony O'Dell was in this. Tony O'Dell was on a show called Head of the Class. But before that, he's one of the lesser seen, lesser known Cobra Kai's in the original Karate Kid. He's kind of like, he's almost like bordering on being an extra, just like Andrew Hsu, for that matter, Elizabeth Shue's brother. So let's get back to Hadley's Rebellion here. It was written and directed by Fred Walton. He directed When a Stranger Calls with Carol Kane and Charles Durning. So, you know, Charles Durning worked with him in this movie too. So I guess Fred Walton liked Charles Durning. But when a stranger calls is that famous movie. It's kind of like that urban legend. The call is coming from inside the house. So Carol Kane is a babysitter. She's getting these horrible, scary prank calls. Finally, I guess by utilizing the operator, like, get out of the house. The call is coming from inside the house. And that's the big scary thing, right? So anyway, so because of, so there's some B&C level production. I mean, so now I'm jumping ahead to like the early 2000s. I got a story about this because I like that movie When a Stranger Calls. It's popular, all that. So there's like this B level, C level production company that made a wannabe version of this movie called When a Killer Calls. And I know about it. It was like in 2005, 2006, something like that, because it starred a friend of mine from Second City. Her name was Rebecca Cochin. She and I were at Second City together. And I remember when she booked this, it was kind of a big deal for her. So she became a pretty popular stand-up comedian. And she even hosted the AVN Awards, which is like the porno awards, the adult video news, adult video network. I don't know, but she hosted the porno awards in Vegas. I don't know if she had a funny joke. She's like, what did she say? Anal makes me so wet in my eyes. The joke being that anal makes her cry. Anyway, but that's okay. So anyway, this production company, I don't remember their name. That's kind of what they did. What they would do is they would take movies that they would make shitty, like cheap movies that seemed like or sounded like popular movies at the time. I think seemingly to confuse the people at the video stores, right? So if you're walking, instead of When a Stranger Calls, you see When a Killer Calls. Oh, I've heard of that. You get it. I'll give you some examples, right? So these are all movies that they really did, all of them starring my friend Rebecca Cochin. So that famous movie with the girl from Dexter was The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Well, this company did Exorcism, The Possession of Gail Bowers. Then they did, of course, When a Killer Calls. They did a movie called Pirates of Treasure Island, right? Because, again, it's early 2000s. Pirates of the Caribbean were popular. So they did Pirates of Treasure Island. They did Halloween Night instead of Halloween. So anyway, so that was like their thing. They would take a popular movie, make a shitty version of it, and then load it up at the video stores, I guess, to confuse people. But oddly enough, this little shit-ass production company eventually hit it really big because they are the ones who created the Sharknado franchise. And as dumb as those movies are, they are a fucking moneymaker for sure. So there, consider yourself smarter. That's my little story of a shitty production company. But back to William Devane and his work between 83 and 93. In 83, he did a movie in which his co-star got an Oscar nomination. And this movie is Testament. So again, it's a feature film. Devane is still kind of dipping his toes into feature films. This one is Testament. The life of a suburban American family is scarred after a nuclear attack. I'll read you from the poster. They never had a chance to see their children grow up, to watch each other grow old, to fix up the house, to take that vacation, because it only took an instant to shatter their dreams. Bum, bum, bum. Testament. So Jane Alexander was one of the leads. She got a Best Actress nomination. Moving on. What do you say we move on here a little bit? Like I said, it's a little tough to find highlights between 83 and 93. Mainly because it seems he's pretty focused on Knots Landing. He does a TV movie in 84 called With Intent to Kill. It was pretty forgettable, but it's got an impressive cast. Let me pull it up here. With Intent to Kill. Here's the synopsis. A high school football hero, Bo Reinecker, tries to piece together the events leading up to murder of his girlfriend, Lisa Nolan. Claiming to have experienced a total blackout, Bo was ultimately found not guilty of the murder by reason of insanity and placed in an institution for 4 years. Meanwhile, the dead girl's father, Tom Nolan, and her sister, Wynn, bitterly prepare a campaign to put Nolan away in prison for life. Things come to a boil when Bo is released, and Tom and Wynn take due process into their own hands, and they hire the A-Team. Bum, 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 bum. Do. Okay, again, it's pretty forgettable, but it's got an impressive cast, so here's the cast. Carl Malden, Paul Sorvino, Shirley Knight. How about that? Holly Hunter. How about that? Of course, Mr. William Devane. Anyone else? Let me go through here. Anyone else of note? No other actors of note, but that is With Intent to Kill. Now, there's no other Knots Landing, like, or no other non-Knots Landing work for Devane until 1987. In 87, he does a TV movie called Time Stalkers. Again, forgettable, but interesting synopsis and a great cast, so I feel compelled to read about it. Time Stalkers. Scott McKenzie, a history professor, becomes involved with two time travelers from the year 2586 after making a discovery in an old photograph from 1886. I like it. I'm a sucker for time travel stuff, especially when they find photos and shit. William Devane's the lead, along with Lauren Hutton, John Ratzenberger. How about that? He was Cliff Clavin in Cheers, and he's so far appeared in every single Pixar movie. And I know that because I've got young kids, and we always try to listen for John Ratzenberger. Klaus Kinski's in this, as is Tracy Walter. I always remember him from Young Guns 2. James Avery, who was Uncle Phil, and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then here's Danny Pintaro. This is interesting. So Danny Pintaro was a child actor in the 80s. He was the little boy in Cujo, and he became pretty famous for his role in Who's the Boss. He played Judith Light's son in Who's the Boss, opposite of like Tony Danza and, of course, Alyssa Milano, my queen. Love Alyssa Milano. But it's interesting. Here's why. So Judith Light, who played Danny Pintaro's mom in Who's the Boss, is a big gay rights activist and a big HIV rights activist. And in the late 80s, she starred in a TV movie about Ryan White. So if you don't know that story, Ryan White was a little boy who had a blood transfusion and contracted HIV and ultimately AIDS. And his story was heartbreaking, and he eventually died. And Ryan White's story became very famous. He almost became like the poster boy for AIDS. And they made a TV movie about him featuring the music of Elton John, because Elton John loved Ryan White and became friends with him. And Judith Light also became friends with Ryan White, and she starred as Ryan White's mom in this TV movie. Interestingly, years later, Danny Pintaro came out as gay, and eventually he came out as HIV positive. So her TV son, Danny Pintaro, is HIV positive, as was her TV son in the movie, the Ryan White story, also had HIV. So I just found all that a little interesting. You may not, but that's okay. 1989, William Devane does yet another TV movie, but this one is worth talking about. The Preppy Murder. I remember this story. So here's The Preppy Murder. Here is, here's a synopsis. This is the story of a young woman who was found dead. When the police investigate, the evidence points to a man she was seen leaving a party with. When questioned, he claims that her death was accidental as a result of rough sex. Her family doesn't believe this, so they press the district attorney's office to try him for murder. But he has a good lawyer who plays his defense right down to putting the dead girl on trial. So the reason I remember this story was in the late 80s, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. We had just moved back to the Bronx. So most Friday and Saturday nights, I'd go stay with my grandmother. She and I were pretty close. And we'd watch a lot of shows together. And one of the things she and I watched regularly Monday through Friday was A Current Affair, which is like a syndicated tabloid show. But I was young. I didn't know any better. I actually thought that was real news. I was like, Maury Povich, A Current Affair. And I thought it was real news. As I got older, I realized I was kind of like tabloid news. But one of the big stories it covered in one of those years, 87, 88, 89, I don't recall, was this preppy murder. She was found strangled in Central Park. And the way they caught him was he showed back up at the scene of the crime. So the crime scene is in Central Park. He showed up, he was sitting on the wall there and watching the police do their thing. And that's kind of what led them to find him as a suspect. There's a whole thing, but anyway, that's kind of how I remember that whole thing going down. Then they made this TV movie about it. The cast was Danny Aiello, William Baldwin as the preppy murderer, Robert Chambers, Joanna Kearns, she was the mom in Growing Pains. Also, she was an ape. Written and directed by Paul Leder. Laura Flynn Boyle is in this. William Devane, of course. Alan Arbus. Who else? Any other names of note? Let's look for people of note. That's the theme of today. Before she was famous, Sandra Bullock. Young before he was famous, Dietrich Bader. How about that? I was just watching Napoleon Dynamite. He's the karate teacher of that. Who else? I don't know who this person is, but her name is Tuesday Knight. That's interesting. What are you doing Tuesday night? That's about it. Oh, Kim Walker's in this. She was in Heathers and she died in real life. She was one of the Heathers and then she died. Rick Aiello is in this. I'm guessing related to Danny Aiello. But anyway, that's The Preppy Murder. I remember when it really happened. Now, Devane's next credit is 1990's Chips the War Dog. Yes, it's about a dog. And here's working with a dog is never good. When you're at a movie and the animal is a lead, or is the lead, it's never good. And Devane is officially out of leading man status at this point, in my opinion. Not judging William Devane, but once you are second, third, fourth fiddle to a dog, call it a day. That's not good. So I'm not even going to read about Chips the fucking War Dog. 1990, he does another TV movie called Murder COD, where he's like the fifth lead behind Patrick Duffy, who we mentioned earlier. Patrick Duffy played Bobby Ewing, whose fake death, I guess, wasn't mentioned, or the fact that he wasn't really dead was never mentioned on Knots Landing. But anyway, that's not good either. William Devane should not be in anything as a second or third, fourth, fifth fiddle to fucking Patrick Duffy. No disrespect to Patrick Duffy, but this is William Devane. He's a legend. All right, but in 1990, Mr. Devane also does a feature film. Sorry, we're back to some features. He does a movie called Vital Signs, which I vaguely remember. I'll read the synopsis. There's a million movies and TV shows just like it. I'll read you the synopsis. You fucking heard it a million times before. The story of a group of third-year students at a Los Angeles medical school and their struggles with love, their studies, and one another. Why is that such a popular thing with medical students? The falling in love. I mean, I feel like there's been a million movies and TV shows. There's also a lot of law school, too. Admittedly, a lot of law school shows like this, but it's mostly medical school shows like this. I don't know. Pretty popular genre. I'll read you the cast. Adrian Pastar is one of the leads. Diane Lane is one of the leads. Love Diane Lane. One of the great beauties of all time. Laura Sanjiacomo's in this. She was six in Pretty Woman. She also went on to be one of the stars of Just Shoot Me with George Segal and of course, David Spade. Jane Addams is in this. I love Jane Addams. She's done a lot of quirky projects. Happiness is one of the movies she was in that's great. She was in the remake of Poltergeist. Speaking of Poltergeist from earlier, when we talked about Tobe Hooper. They made a remake and she was in it. But Happiness is a really quirky movie she was in with Philip Seymour Hoffman, probably one of the more memorable characters. Laura Flynn Boyle, who we mentioned, Dylan Baker. If you ever get a chance, go rent Happiness. Really disturbing. Who directed that? Todd Solondz, that's right. It's written and directed by Todd Solondz. But I like Jane Addams, and whenever I think of her, I think of that movie. Who else is in this movie, Vital Signs? Bradley Whitford is in this. Of course, Mr. William Devane. Jimmy Smits is in it. Jimmy Smits. Thelma Hopkins is in it. She had a long career. She was in Give Me a Break. She was one of Dawn, Tony Orlando and Dawn. One was Thelma Hopkins. Then she was like the aunt in Family Matters, but she's been around forever. But that is Vital Signs. I kind of remember it in early 90s, forgettable. I think I remember because the box at the video store. I worked at Videotronics. So now, in 1991, Mr. Devane is back in the Kennedy business, baby. Now, if you recall, he played JFK in The Missiles of October, which I talked about in William Devane, Part 1, a classic Fanacek episode. Now he's going to play Black Jack Bouvier in the miniseries, the three-part miniseries, A Woman Named Jackie. I'm guessing it's about Jackie Kennedy. Yep, it is. This starts when Jackie Kennedy was working after college and spans her life through the presidency of John F.K. and her marriage to Aristotle Onassis after the assassination of President Kennedy. So who played Jackie? Well, it played a young Jackie was Sarah Michelle Gellar. How about that? How about that? Who played the grown-up Jackie was Roma Downey, who I don't know that well. But who else is in this? William Devane. Stephen Collins played JFK. Stephen Collins went on to be the dad in Seventh Heaven. He was also Andy Bernard's dad in The Office. And now he is canceled because I think he's a pedophile or he likes to masturbate to children pornography. But anyway, he has been canceled because of that. Speaking of The Office, Andy Buckley was in this. Andy Buckley in this played JFK Jr. You probably know him as CFO David Wallace in The Office. He was in this. Who else is in this miniseries? Boyd Gaines. I remember Boyd Gaines. Boyd Gaines was eventually in Alice, I think, but he did a lot of stuff. Look up Boyd Gaines. I think he was in Porky's as well. That guy's been around. I don't see any other big name stars. You think I would have prepared a little bit better? No, that's about it. But anyway, that is A Woman Named Jackie. It won an outstanding for won an Emmy for outstanding miniseries. So let's read a review. I mean, if it was the outstanding miniseries, I'd like to know a little more about it. So this person says, excellent adaptation. The fact that this miniseries came to be is unbelievable in itself. The source biography by C. David Heyman is full of details, but they never seem to put into any order of sensible or any sort of sensible order. No, I don't like this synopsis or review. Let's read another review. This one is called Touched by a First Lady. I'd like to be touched by a first lady. That's a bad joke. Well, not by watching this miniseries. This is strictly for laughs. I read the book, which believe it or not, was much better than this. There are some fun scenes, like when Jackie walks up to Jack and hands him some women's panties and says, the maid found these, they aren't my size, implying he'd brought a woman with a big rear end into the marriage bed. Also a scene with bombed Marilyn Monroe calling the White House and getting Jackie by mistake. They argue and Marilyn called Jackie a biatch. Great fun. Okay. I'm sure she can call her biatch. Did they say biatch back in the 60s? Shut up, biatch. I'm sleeping with your husband, biatch. Okay. We're almost done. We're almost to 1993. But before we get there, we have a few things to look at. Like the 1992 TV movie, Obsessed. Oh, yes, I want to talk about this. I'll read you the synopsis of Obsessed. A young woman who grew up feeling neglected by her father has a fascination for older men. When she meets a man that her company is doing business with, she is taken with him. And before you know, they are having an affair. But when he tries to break it, she doesn't take it very well. That young woman is Shannon Doherty. That older man is Mr. William Devane. Shannon Doherty, William Devane in Obsessed. All right, here's why I want to talk about this. So it was written by David Peckinpah. That is Sam Peckinpah's nephew. I'm not going to read the reviews, but I'm going to read you the titles of the reviews. This is what people thought of. This one's called Absorbing in a Traffic Accident Way. Another review is titled I've Seen Worse. The other one is for all you Shannon fans. So that's why I want to talk about this. So Shannon Doherty. So, you know, Shannon Doherty by this time frame was kind of at her peak in 90210. She'd be off in 90210. I think by like 94, 95, she got fired from the show, kind of replaced with a new character played by Tiffany Amber Thiessen. But if I recall, she had done, okay. So around this time, she does a movie called Blindfolds, Acts of Obsession. It was basically like a softcore porno with Judd Nelson. This was released on VHS when I was at Boston University. Me and my college roommate went to like 18 video stores trying to find this damn movie all over Boston because we wanted to see Shannen Doherty naked, and it delivered. It wasn't great, but we finally got our hands on the movie and brought it back to the dorm room and popped it in, and there you go, Shannen Doherty naked. Anyway, so she's a star of Obsessed. She was also the star of Blindfolds, Acts of Obsession, where she got naked with Judd Nelson from The Breakfast Club. She's had rough times, ladies. You know, she's going through a pretty severe cancer battle. I think she's got stage 4 cancer. Going through a divorce. She accused her husband of cheating with her on a publicist, who, by the way, incidentally, I'm connected to that publicist on LinkedIn. So that was a little interesting information for you. But it is looking up. There is talks of a Mallrats 2 coming out. I think it's called Twilight of the Mallrats, and she's going to be in it. So if she survives her cancer, which I'm crossing my fingers, I hope she does well, but I'd look forward to seeing her reprise her role in Mallrats. Okay, back to William Devane. In 1992, he does a TV movie called The President's Child with Donna Mills. You remember her? She's the buoyant one. We mentioned that several times. She's big and beautiful and buoyant as hell. Then he does a polygamy Mormon TV movie with Brian Dennehy called Prophet of Evil, The Ervil LeBaron Story, which, I don't know, I like Dennehy, but I'm not going to read about that. But what I really want to talk about is the 1993 TV movie Rubdown. Now, it's called Rubdown, and based on the box, you can tell it's about massage. So any movie about massages is going to be B-level softcore porn. Am I right? I think I'm right. So I had to jump on this one. Here is the synopsis. It's a long one, too. A rich man offers his masseur, a former baseball player with damaged knees, $50,000 to have an affair with his wife so she'll be in violation of their prenuptial agreement and he can divorce her without losing his fortune. The masseur agrees, although he is already having an affair with the wife, and they together work out a way to set up her husband in order that she does get his fortune. But when the client is murdered and the real wife shows up, the masseur has to clear his own name. Has to clear his own name. And as he begins to piece together the evidence, he realizes that he's been played by yet another man who still holds a grudge from years before. Pretty convoluted. Pretty convoluted. Okay. It's such a classic 90s thing, though, you know. Let's take a look at the cast. Michelle Phillips is back from the Mamas and the Papas. Jack Coleman, he plays Marion Pooley. Who's Jack Coleman? He looks so familiar. Dynasty for a lot of years. Heroes. Was this guy not the senator in The Office? Am I crazy? I'm going to look this up. I thought he was maybe the state senator from The Office. If he's not, I'm wasting a lot of time here. I'm going to pause the podcast. Ha! He is State Senator Rob Lipton. I knew he looked familiar. Another little Office callback. Who else is in this? Alan Thicke is in this. Catherine Oxenberg is in this. Catherine Oxenberg, her daughter, ended up in a cult. Is a great... I saw that documentary on HBO. I can't remember the name of the cult. Oh, shit. Anyway, wait, damn, Catherine Oxenberg, I'm going to pause the podcast again. Oh, yes, the cult was Nexium. Great, great documentary about that. William Devane, of course, is in this. Kane Hodder was in this. I've met Kane Hodder. He was Jason Voorhees in several of the Friday the 13th movies. He's kind of the quintessential Jason. I think when you ask people who is the main Jason, they will say Kane Hodder. Let's read a review of Rubdown, because you know it was good. You know it was quality. This person gives it one star. Unbelievably contrived storyline rubs out, rub down. Expect to not only suspend disbelief, but to throw it out the window. This contrived, confusing mess is given 1 point only for the performance of William Devane. Well, there you go. Devane is the only thing making this movie good. Unfortunately, he's killed off early, and what follows is total nonsense. So there you go. So 1993 comes to an end. So does Knots Landing. So now it's 1993. His big money-making show has come to an end. How will William Devane spend the next 30 years? You'll have to tune in next week to find out. Because this concludes part 2 of William Devane. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you like Fanacek, rate and review it. That always helps me. Hit me up on Facebook, man. I'm Real Fanacek. Lots of people hit me up. I love hearing from you. Email me, fanacekpodcast@gmail.com. I just got a new order of stickers. I will send you Fanacek Podcast stickers, man. They're really cool. I'm on Twitter, although I don't use it a whole hell of a lot, at Fanacek Podcast. But again, if you wonder what happens to William Devane from 93 to 2023 and beyond, you're going to have to stay tuned for the next exciting episode of Fanacek.